Good evening, everyone. The first song that we will sing this evening, the song title, I Love You, Lord. This is song 943, if we have anyone that's following along in our hymnals this evening. 943, I Love You, Lord. This is one verse in our books, so we'll sing through this song twice.
I love you, Lord, and I live my voice. in your ear.
The song that we will sing before our Lenten opening prayers this evening, Open Our Eyes, Lord. This is song 960. Open Our Eyes, Lord, song 960. We'll sing this song and then we'll be led in our opening prayer.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Our Father, we thank you for another gorgeous Lord's Day and for the privilege we've had to come together two times. What an honor it is to come together to worship you, the true and living God. We're thankful, Father, many of our number don't have this privilege. Let us comfort them and help them in some way that to feel they're still wanted, and maybe someday they'll be able to come back and be with us. What a joy that would be. We're mindful, Father, this country's turmoil and distress that's going on, nations can't get along. Father, kick the devil out and let the people live together in peace and harmony one with another. Continue to bless those, Father, that's lost loved ones, in particular for Nancy's family. We pray that something can happen, a miracle, that she's still alive and she can come back to her daughter and her family. Be with us tonight as we go through this service. May everything we do be within harmony with what you want us to and be the right way. And Father, if anybody in Radio Land needs a ride, you can call at 618-252-7154 and somebody come and get you for services. Help us all to be strong, forgive our sin, and you pray you bless the teachers and the kids and the bus drivers as they go about their activities this week, because Father, many things can get in their way, so please protect them that all be all right. Be with us and help us, give us a good day, a good night's rest, and bring us back Wednesday night at 6 o'clock for worship. Forgive our sin and save us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Our next song selection will require us all to have our song books in hand and open them up to song number 839. When All of God's Singers Get Home, song 839. That's our next song. What a song of delight in the city so bright will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth, songs of sadness or mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light and each face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement. That song that we will sing after this evening's lesson is song number 23. All things are ready. Song number 23, that's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing after this evening's lesson. Once you have that song marked, the song that we will sing prior to our lesson this evening, How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts? This is song 253 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts? Song 253.
How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules impart to keep the conscience clean. Tis like the sun of heavenly light that guides us all the day, and through the dangers of the night, a lamp to lead our way, a lamp to lead our way. Thy word is everlasting truth, how pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age.
Good evening. It was pointed out that I didn't mention for cards for those that were prodigals this morning. And if you have any of those on your list, on your cards that you've been praying for, you can. There's the white big cards in the back that you can pick up that are on the back table. If you'd fill those out and turn them in to Stacy when you get those, and then that'll be another one of our Stacy and or Jamie. And Jamie's got our prospect list that he's building, and you can do that. So if you want to continue doing that, that would be great. There were two brothers in two different boats that really were, their business was fishing, and they fished, that was their livelihood, and they thought that they probably thought they were pretty good at it. But these two men and that we're talking, these four men that we're talking about tonight, began in a simple way in for John and Andrew and Peter from John chapter 1. So you want, this is the first time that they encountered Jesus. So if you'd like to please turn your Bibles to John. John, the first chapter, starting in verse 35. Here John the Baptist had already, by this point in time probably, that we have, had already baptized Christ, and the Spirit had come down upon him, and so on. It was sometime later, the next day, it says, starting in verse 35. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following him said, What do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, which is translated teacher, where are you staying? And he said, Come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him and was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah, and you shall be called Cephas," which is translated, "a stone." Or in some translations it says Cephas, which is translated, "Peter." So here we have the next day that as Jesus was walking apparently back within that area where John could see him, where he had been working, preaching and teaching, he looked at it and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Some translations, actually later on in John, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so we see that he's being pointed out as the Lamb of God, which probably, more than likely, John the Baptist had been preaching about. And now that he had baptized Christ, he's wanting the people to look to Jesus as the Lamb of God. And there's these people, John, probably John, because you know John in the book of John doesn't mention himself. And Andrew had been with those two men, that two disciples that the John the Baptist had been talking to. And as they went on, they followed him, and he said, "Behold," like we talked to, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they were, you know, simple beginnings. They were standing there, and they'd been looking for the Messiah, and John says, basically, "There he is. That's the one we've been talking about all along." And so they followed him, right? And Jesus, "What do you want?" basically, putting it maybe in our vernacular today. And they said, "We want to follow you." And so he said, "Come and see. And so where are you staying? Come and see." And so he stayed with them. They stayed with him that day. And then they began to collect others. And the one that they collected here was pretty interesting because his name was Cephas, or Simon. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus immediately said, "No, you're going to be called Peter." And by the way, the word Peter here, which translates a stone, really means like a pebble. That's what the word Peter literally meant in the Greek, in the Jewish language. Now, why is this important? I think it's important because sometimes we have to, it's important for us to understand that these things kind of happen on a small basis to start with. And like it did here with John, John teaching these men and pointing them to Jesus, and Jesus beginning to calm him and call him and work with him, that they met him. This is where he met Andrew and Peter and John, which was one of those, that's three of the fishermen that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. And so as they did, these simple beginnings can lead to great things. And if we're open to it and ready to go. So let's look at how Jesus actually called them to follow him. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he knew he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch fish." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we have, you know, Jesus here as he encounters these people, and he knew Peter because he had encountered him very early as at the time of John the Baptist's following, and asked him to use his boat. Now, I think it's interesting. It says there was a multitude on the shore, right? And it It doesn't focus on the multitude. It doesn't focus on what Jesus said while he was in the boat, teaching them, right? And it was important. I'm sure it was a good lesson. It must have been important, or else Jesus wouldn't have been doing it. And probably he did it because they say that on the water it magnifies the sound and they probably could hear him better. The multitudes could. I mean, that's been assumed by some that have looked at this and thought about it. But when it was all done, it wasn't about the people on the land, but Jesus knew what he was talking about, and he said, I want you to go fishing. And he said, Lord, we'd be nice, it's a good idea, but we haven't caught anything. He says, well, put out a little ways and cast your net. And lo and behold, when he cast his net, they had such a huge catch of fish that it started to, they had help from their partners, and you have two big fishing boats. I'm not big as we think about big today, but probably good-sized boats. And it began to sink both of their boats. And they got them into the shore, the fish, and they were so astonished that Peter himself looked at Jesus, and he fell down on his knees, and kind of like the prodigal son this morning, right? He said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Forgive me for my sins. I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. I'm not. Basically, you're saying, I'm not worthy to be your disciple. And so he called, but Jesus called him and told him, from now on, you are going to catch men. You're going to be fishers of men. Here are people that knew how to fish for fish. But Jesus is now beginning to open a whole new door for them. A whole new way so that they could catch people. And he doesn't say that exactly, that they'd be fishers of men, but that's what he says. From now on, you'll catch men, right? From now on. And so I think sometimes, like what we're doing, is that we're wanting to catch men and women and children. We want to be able to reach out to people and care for them and reach out to them. And even though many have taught people before, it's a new way of doing things. And so we have to work at doing those things together. And I really, really respect what all of you are doing so far. And Stacy and Jamie and Krista, you know, you guys are doing a great job in your beginning points and starting points here for all of us and helping us along the way. But Jesus knew them and was wanting to teach them what they should do. And he took the fishermen on a fishing trip. Isn't that interesting? I mean, Jesus was not a fisherman, was he? But he says, I'm going to help you catch fish. Well, Jesus is going to help us catch people. And it's not like we catch them with a net or anything like that, of course. But it's a matter that he's going to help us, show us the way. That's why I think one of the reasons that this whole program emphasizes prayer so much, of praying for the people that are on our list, praying for the people that are our context, and so on. And so that we know that there's going to be people that are going to do that. And as we talked about Peter realized that he was unworthy, that he was not worthy to be a follower of Jesus, that he was a sinful man. I guess every one of us could look at our own lives and say, Jesus, I'm not worthy. I've sinned. I sin and fall short of the glory of God if it's just me. But it's only through, of course, we know that it's only through Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness. It's only through him that we become right with him, have righteousness, and be made holy in him. So when we try to focus on what, seeing this from Jesus' perspective of what he wants for us, not what we see it from our perspective, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, but we see it from his perspective. And of course they were amazed about this. It really got their attention. They probably never seen anything like this in their whole lives. They were fishermen, but they never saw anything like that. You know, there was one time that I was fishing with some friends, and I was fishing for whitefish over in Iowa City, Iowa. And I was told that if you fish this way and do these things, that you'll catch fish. And they said, oh, how do you bait your hook? And they said, three hooks on each line. I thought, three hooks? How are you going to catch? I never caught three at one time, but I caught two at one time, and these fish were 2 to 3 pounds. And so it was a really interesting fishing trip. You know, I never thought about that. I never knew how to fish like that. And then one time when we moved to Washington State, they said, well, the fish we catch mostly here are trout. Well, I had never fished for trout. So I had to go to someone that had gone with me, one of the elders in the church actually, and he went out and he said, this is how you fish for trout. And lo and behold, I learned how to fish for trout. And I'm glad I did, because I really like them. They're good eating. But we have to know a way that's working to do it. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can fish and for different things. But if I fished for trout like I fished for those whitefish, I would have never caught any trout. That's why we have the directions that we have about what we should do. Well, where did it take them now? From falling down on their feet, they left everything and followed Jesus. And we're going to see more of this, more of the story as we go along here. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke the 9th chapter, and we're going to start in verse 23. Very familiar passage, but I think one that was really important for us to do as we consider the progression that takes place here. Let's actually back up. Jesus had said that he has commanded them to tell no one that he was going to be raised from the dead. And verse 21 says, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. First of all, he tells them to deny themselves. We can back up real quick to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, when Jesus said to them, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The thing is that some people stop right there. And so that's what I have to do to follow God, to seek him first. Well, that's it. That's important. But I think this takes us to the next step, if you will, the next level of commitment that Jesus is asking of these disciples and of us. If anyone desires, this is back to 23, to come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. More than likely, and we don't know for sure, but more than likely, because the Romans were putting many people to death on crosses at this point in time in history. That was their, the way that they dealt with a lot of problems. And it said at one time that there were over 1,000 people on crosses that they had put on crosses at one time. And so this was a brutal thing that took place. So probably they knew what it meant to die on a cross. But they didn't know what Jesus was talking about when he said, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Well, if you begin to realize it and think about it, that to die on the cross, that they knew what that meant. And they knew what deny meant. So it meant that you've got to be willing to go to a cross to follow me. You've got to give it all up to follow me. You have to be willing to go on one of those crosses. Now, of course, Jesus was talking about, because he had just told them, remember, that he was going to die and be raised again on the third day. But he says, I want this of you too, that if you really want to give your life and your heart to me, if you really want to be the kind of fisherman that you want to be for men, that I want you to be, it's going to start right here. You've got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. When we think about this for us, of course, we know, we've talked about this before, and I know that you've thought about it before, that it means that God wants us to follow him in commitment every day, all the time. That's what he wants for us, to follow him. Remember, Jesus often, as he said, follow me. I mean, that was a simple command that he gave to many people when they wanted to follow him. Follow me. And they did. And he said, but you have to lose your life for Jesus' sake. Now, it is said, and I don't give much credence to this as of my opinion, that about all the apostles died in persecution. Probably, they say, except for John, the Apostle John. We don't know this for sure. This is all Catholic church history, if you will. And so when we think about this and we hear these kind of things, we really don't know. But probably, I mean, it's very probable that they all did die for the sake of Christ. But that's not what Jesus, I don't think, is talking about here. He's giving up who we are and what we are to follow him, to be the kind of fisher people, that fisherman, to fish for people that he wants us to do. And there's no point, he says, in gaining the whole world. What if you gain the whole world and lose and forfeit your soul? Well, we know that. It's good. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's easy to say you're going to lose yourself. And I mean, you don't want to gain the whole world. Do you ever follow sweepstakes and anything like that that came in the mail? And my parents did for quite a while. My mom was just sure they're going to win that sweepstakes. Wanted to be wealthy because it takes you out of poverty. But that's not what Jesus is saying. And we're going to talk about this more when we talk about the blessings and rewards that we have in Christ. But understand that it's not talking about spiritual gain. But Jesus says, if you try to do it physically, you're not going to be able to do it spiritually. You're going to lose yourself. If you lose or forfeit, he says, your very self. And so we have to begin to focus on what does God want for us to be, the kind of fisherman that he wants us to be. Well, then we talk about, therefore, the rewards for fishing for Christ. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, the passage that we're going to read follows after Jesus had talked to the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler said, what does it take for me to follow you? And Jesus said, well, give up sell everything you have and come follow me. And he was unwilling to do that. And Jesus talks to them for a little bit and said that in verse 27, it says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then, there's our text, verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children with lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Peter said, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. And they left their businesses? I mean, they left what they were doing. When Matthew left, he left his business as a tax collector. You know, when Simon, the one that was in charge of, that was, you know, a persecutor of or defender of the Jewish people, you know, he left that way of life to follow Jesus. I mean, people left to let go of what they had been doing to follow him. They walked around with him for 3 years to follow him. And so Peter said, when he'd asked the rich young ruler to give up everything he had and he wouldn't do it, well, Peter said, but Lord, we've done that, right? We've done that. And it's easy for us to say these things, you know, that we have left everything and followed you. And Peter, you think about Peter, I mean, he had left a lot, but he still had a wife. That didn't mean that Jesus said you can't have a wife, right? But he's basically... we don't know of any of the other apostles, if they had children or wives or things like that. We're really not told. But he did here, Peter did, and that he was, you know, said, Lord, I've left everything. When we look at us, when we look at our own lives, there's times in our lives, I think, when we are willing and have thought we have left everything and followed you. There's a song that we sing. I was trying to remember what it was, James, where it says, you know, we have left everything, but and then the question comes back about Jesus. You think you understand what I'm saying? Song I'm thinking about? I'll look it up. I should have looked it up before. I didn't think about it until just now. But it's a really good song because it challenges us. Jesus has left all these things, and we say, "Well, I've done this, and I've gone on the mission field for you. I've done all these things," and then Jesus answers, "Well, I gave my life for you." You're going to make you look for it now. I'm sorry about that. But the thing is that, think about it. I mean, in pride, I don't know if it was in pride at the time, but there was a time when I, twice, when I went to Ukraine, I sold all my possessions. I gave my car to my daughter. Well, I sold one car to another member of the church. So I had funds, but so I could go to Ukraine and do that mission work. I couldn't take furniture or anything like that. And, you know, I said, well, I've left everything. But when I got to the mission field, I bought furniture. You know, I had, when I first went, I had just like $600 income from my Social Security. And I could live on that better than anyone there, most anyone there could live. They were living on $100 or $200 a month. And so I was, again, a rich American. So I didn't give up everything. The thing is that it's a matter of choice, of decision, how I'm going to live, how what I'm going to do for Christ, what I'm willing to endure to serve Him. And I'm not talking about just me, I'm talking about us. It's how we live and the choices that we make. We have left everything to follow you, Peter had said. Jesus said, everyone who leaves all for my sake in the gospel. Now, that's why we do it. We don't do it for us. We don't leave everything for us. We do it for Jesus' sake and for the good news of Jesus Christ. So, and we don't have to, I don't think Jesus on the whole asked us to, like the rich young ruler, to give up everything. Jesus knew that's what was holding him back from being a follower, his things. Peter's maybe was the boat and the fish, and Peter, James, and John. You know, that was maybe that's what would have been held them back. But when they saw what Jesus could do, they saw, okay, Lord, I want to give up and follow you. Not many people would spend 3 years following Jesus around the way that they did, you know, to begin with. Jesus knew who they were, and he wanted those people. And, you know, I wonder, and I feel from the very beginning that Jesus probably knew that Judas was going to be the one that was going to betray him. But still he took him in, he loved him, and so on. But we have to decide when it comes, well, when the rubber meets the road, right? Who am I going to follow and why I'm going to follow them? For my sake in the gospel. Will you? And he says, you're going to receive 100 times as much now in the present age. Did any of the apostles become rich? I don't think that we know of, not any of them. Did any of them receive huge families, sons and daughters and mothers? Now we look back to Job, can't we? We can look back to Job and see after Job had lost everything. And at the end God took and blessed him again. He gave him family and children and possessions. Excuse me, more than what he had had from the beginning. But in the New Testament times, it's all spiritual and not physical. Excuse me. That they would receive many times what they gave up. And the main thing that it says also, but that includes persecutions. If we're going to give up all to follow him, that means we're going to do things. We're going to meet people that are not receptive to us, may not appreciate us, and do what God has said for us. And there may be many other things that will take place that would fall into the category of persecutions. But Jesus says, if you give everything to me, you're going to have many blessings, but along with it, persecutions. And what else did he say? Including eternal life. That's the real thing. That's the real reason that we give up everything that we have, is to include eternal life. So, as we look at this and we examine this for ourselves, are you all in to become a fisherman for Christ? To become a fisherman. There are people that will do most anything sometimes to go fishing. I didn't fish hardly at all this last year. But the thing is that I really like to go fishing. One time I took a break when I was still living in Illinois and drove to Central Iowa to a family that had a nice pond, about probably not much bigger than this room. But I always caught a lot of fish there. I always had a lot of fun. I spent 2 days, stayed at a hotel, cost and everything. I paid the price for it because I like to fish. But still, that's not what's important. That's not important to me. That's not the main thing. As obviously, I didn't fish much this year. It's what you do with your life. How are you giving your heart and your life to God to become the fisherman that he wants you to be? We all have room to grow. Have you given everything to Jesus? I think this is a question that we must take up, question ourselves always, to take up the cross daily to follow him. And it's something that we must look at. So encourage you and to leave your nets, your life, and follow Jesus Christ, to give your heart and your soul to him. Once you come to him now, as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for you at the Master's side. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever. Come while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine, tomorrow may never be. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. Come to the feast, leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever.
Is there anyone here this evening that did not have opportunity already today to partake of the Lord's Supper? In a moment, we will be dismissed then with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all of those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep in mind this evangelism program and the success of it. The success starts with our full effort in doing our part, and then trusting in God to deliver the rest. Is there anything that we need to make specially known to the congregation before we pray?
Well, my ask is that any of those that delivered boxes today, if they have anything they'd like to share with us after our prayer, so that we could just get a feel for how it went.
All right. So if you delivered a box today, stick around and share the results of your communication with the congregation. If nothing further, let's be dismissed in prayer.
Well, part of this evangelism effort is supposed to be focusing on prayer. So we were privileged to deliver one of those boxes this afternoon. And unfortunately, the gentleman that we were to deliver that to has been transferred to a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So his name is Jerry Wiseman, and he has dementia, or Alzheimer's technically. So I'm pretty familiar with that. So I didn't get to have much of a conversation because there was a dog trying to come out, and a lady came out to talk to me for a second, and I believe her name was Carolyn. And so we were kind of it's cold standing outside, so I did have a brief conversation with her, and so I thought we would offer a prayer in addition to all our other things for Jerry Wiseman this evening, for him and those caring for him and his family. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're very thankful for this evening, and we're thankful for this opportunity, Father, to become fishers of men. Help us, Father, to be ready to Father to prepare our minds and our focus on souls, Father, on the business of reaching lost people with your message, the gospel, because we know the gospel is what draws people to Jesus. The gospel has the power. Jesus said he will draw all men unto him. And Father, that's through the gospel. We understand that, and we thank you for that. Father, for all these efforts being made to do that, Father, we pray that you'll be with each and every one with whatever role they're serving in, from those that are organizing, Father, those that are sending out cards, those that are praying, those that are visiting new movers, that are visiting erring members, that are visiting the lost, Father. We pray, Father, that we'll be busy, that we'll each take time to fill out our cards with those that we come in contact with that are in need of the gospel and that have opportunities like those cards say, different life events, Father, that might make them more receptive to understanding their spiritual need. And Father, we pray for them. And one of those, Father, that we hold up to your name this evening is Jerry Wiseman. We pray for him that his condition might improve in some way, Father. But if it's not, if his condition isn't to improve, Father, then we pray for his family that are concerned about him, for those that are caring for him. And Father, they might have an opportunity to seek you and to find you and to find peace within themselves. Father, we pray for that family as they support Jerry, and we pray for those caring for him, and we pray for Jerry as well. May you have mercy upon him and upon his family. Father, for ourselves, Father, we ask, Father, for forgiveness. We ask, Father, that you look over our sin, Father, but help us to recognize our own sins, Father, and to repent of those things. And Father, to be good fishers. Good fishermen are the ones that are prepared. Help us to prepare ourselves in the ways that we can. Help us to be willing to go out and to cast the net, Father, to cast the net and to be busy in your work. We ask, Father, for you to bless those of our shut-ins, Father, that want to be here but aren't able to be. Father, we ask your blessings. Today was mentioned about those, Father, that have known your grace, but Father, the flame has sputtered. Father, we pray for them that need to be restored to faith. Father, we pray that you might help rekindle that fire, and Father, help use us in that way too, to help rekindle, to fan the flame that's within their hearts to where they can be reignited and reinvigorated and restored to the gospel and to a fellowship in Christ. We miss those, Father, and we ask, Father, that each of us will think this week about who isn't any longer a part of this body on a regular basis. Let's make some efforts to reach out to those folks, and let's make an effort to pray for those folks, and let's just do what we can, however we can, to try to encourage them once again to follow you and to surrender to Christ. We ask, Father, that you bless us this evening as we separate. Help us not to be separated from your love and from your protection, but that we'll look forward to that time when we can be together again this Wednesday or perhaps even before that. Bless us now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't everybody be seated for a minute? Don, would you turn off the recording? Not the mic.